Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word. So let it be this morning. It says he gives light, gives understanding to the simple. So let it be for us in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Well, you know, we have been covering the book of Hebrews. We took a break and did some things in between, but now we are back. And I am so excited to do this chapter 11, my favorite all-time chapter, I would say, well, at least in the book of Hebrews, maybe even in the Bible, I don't know, but powerful stuff, you know. So today's caption for the room is God's Hall of Faith. Now that's faith, not fame. God's Hall of Faith and the Anatomy of Faith, what faith really looks like. So as we read through this, I'm going to read the whole chapter and we're going to pause at some places and examine, you know, attributes of faith that we see in the stories here. Then, of course, you know, there is another lesson that I am going to give coming out of this, you know, so you stay tuned. The Lord is going to bless your hearts. So the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And let's get ready to be fired up as we read some of these stories. Now, why are these stories in the Bible? Well, the scripture says all these things that are in the Bible, they are for our, you know, examples, admonitions, encouragements, etc. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right away, we see that faith is not abstract, but it's a substance. It's got a substance to it. If you know how to use it just right, it will not be abstract at all. It is the evidence or the assurance. You know, something that you can't see, faith tells you it is there. That's just it. You may not be able to see certain things. You know, Bible says that the things that are visible, they are temporal, but the things that are not seen, those are eternal things. You may not be able to see those things with your physical eyes, but the eye of faith can see them as being present. You know, faith sees as present things that are not even there, that the normal eye cannot see. Hallelujah. So that's how faith works. Now, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Well, let me pause there and ask us, what kind of report are we obtaining? I mean, let's take a look. This is the new year. It just started. We're just in, you know, in the month of February. But this year thus far, or even last year, we've completed last year. What kind of report did you obtain? I mean, if God was writing this book today, this Hall of Faith today, would you make it in for last year? Will your name be there? Or will your name be there for this year? So that's a question. That's, well, many challenges or things or punchlines we'll throw out today. But that's the first one. You know, will your name be in the books if God were writing it today of the Hall of Faith? I mean, will your name be mentioned? Well, let's see some of these stories that were mentioned. You know, through faith. Well, first thing here is it's talking about God himself. You know, that's where we start. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't that marvelous? That's how God works. He doesn't need anything to be there before he calls it forth. He can call forth things that are not there. We read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 that God calleth all things that are not as though they already are. And he also raises the dead. I mean, to him, it's all the same. Whether it's there or not doesn't make any difference. He would just call forth the things that he wants. In the beginning, we saw that he looked, you know, everything was void at first. And he began to just imagine those things and call them forth. Just as, you know, just like he imagined it in his mind, he called it forth. Glory to God. Well, he was already light, so he did not create light. He just called the light to shine. He said, well, let the light shine. Hallelujah. And then it shined, you know, and he said, Lord, let this be. And then it was. And let the other be. And then it was. He wasn't there before, before he spoke. But as soon as he spoke it, that thing came into existence. For he commanded. Hallelujah. And it stood fast. He spoke and it was done. So that faith is how we understand that all those things were framed by the word of God. Those who don't have faith today, they're trying to find some other ways by which the world was created and try to discredit God from being the one that created the worlds. But we understand by faith, it was God that created the worlds. So that things which we see today were not made out of things which are already there. God just spontaneously called those things out. Now let's begin to drop it down into the human realm. By faith, and I'm going to call out some of these attributes as we go through. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, so right away we see that faith brought revelation to Abel. Now, nobody taught them, at least we don't know. We didn't see it in the account that anybody taught Abel or Cain how to bring a sacrifice or which sacrifice to bring that would be pleasing to God. You know, by faith. So faith here brought revelation to Abel that the blood sacrifice was what would be pleasing to God. Of course, Cain, who was of that wicked one, did not have that revelation because he didn't have the faith. And he became wicked and eventually killed his brother. But by faith, Abel, we understand that he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So by faith, he received revelation to understand what will be pleasing to God, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And even up to now, by he being dead, he's, you know, that still speaketh. That's why we're reading it here today. Now let's read about Enoch. You know, Enoch has to be one of my favorite characters, perhaps even, well, Enoch and David, some of those people. But Enoch, my goodness, even though very little was spoken about, written about him in the Bible, by faith, we understand that Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. And how did Enoch know that it was possible to not see death? Because, you know, Adam obviously told them, all of them, Enoch was generation number 7. And before that, all the people that came before him, they heard the same stories that Enoch heard. What are those cherubims that we see there with the flaming swords? Well, you know, Adam would tell them, well, it's because the way to the garden and the tree of life is locked up. We can't go in there. Why not? You know, well, because of this and that. And God said that, you know, in the day that we eat of some tree, which we did, we would die. And so we're just waiting to die. You are waiting to die. All of us will die. Yep. Sorry. That's it. Well, God did say something though about some seed of the woman. We don't understand what it's all about. Enoch said, I'm going to figure it out. I need to get in that garden. You mean you had all that power and you lost it? Son, you can't go in there. It's locked up. So, well, I'm going in there one way or another. Or what is in there is coming out to me. I'm going to figure it out. Hallelujah. By faith, he figured it out. Even though Adam told them we are all waiting to die. By faith, he figured out that he did not have to die. Hallelujah. He was a trailblazer. He was somebody that figured out something that everybody else did not figure out. Everybody else before him, they didn't figure out that it was possible to not die. That it was actually possible to be translated. Glory to God. And so he figured it out and he began to pursue God. He wanted more of God. He would not be denied. He would not stop at the water's edge. He plunged right in. The closer he got to God, the farther away he got from the darkness and death. The spirit of darkness and death that was walking in all the generations, you know, the farther he moved towards that light, you know, the dimmer the darkness became, you know, and so he got brighter into the light. The light became brighter and brighter. And one day, as he worked with God and he pursued, it took him 300 years though, but he did it. And one day when it was completely translated, remember, we are being changed from glory to glory, you know, by the glory of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this man was being changed, glory to glory. And one day when he was completely light, as it is written in 1 John 1:5, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So for you to be walking with God, to be united with God like that, there had to be no darkness. And he had to get rid of that darkness. That darkness that came in through disobedience brought also death upon everybody. But by faith, Enoch figured out a way to beat it. He beat that death. Glory to God. And I'm happy and proud to say it and shout it on the mountaintop that death is not the only way by which we can leave this earth. Because Enoch figured it out. God left it for a witness. Hallelujah. And there may be other people that have figured it out. Maybe we just don't know about it. You know, we know that Elijah also, in fact, he was more dramatic. You know, God sent him a chariot of fire from heaven to pick him up. Glory to God. We don't know how Enoch went, but Elijah was a dramatic prophet. You know, everything about him was dramatic. You know, we'll see more about that, you know, later. But anyway, Enoch figured it out. He was translated. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So he figured out, by faith, he figured out a way to please God. Well, we're told here that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is why I love the subject of faith. There are very few things in this Bible, you know, where the word is impossible is used in connection with God. And this is one of them. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why faith is so vital. Even Jesus speaking in Luke 18:1-8, telling us that, look, hang in there. Don't give up. The Lord will avenge you speedily and so forth. But at the end, in verse 8, he says, now, nevertheless, when the Lord shows up, will he find faith? You know, so that's the one thing. Will he find faith? Will you still be at a point of faith when he actually shows up to answer your prayer? Or would you have given up and packed it in and, you know, turned back? Or will you be at the point of faith? So faith is such a vital subject. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We learned that in the lesson of the life of Enoch. Now, we also understand that he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. You know, you will find me when you shall seek me with all of your heart. That's what the Lord said. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, here we see another attribute of faith. You know, we've seen the attributes of revelation and all these things, you know, and now we see the attribute of urgency. Faith, you know, brought urgency into the heart of Noah. You know, he moved with fear. He trembled at God's word. Isaiah 66:2. This is the man to whom I will look, he that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. We see that Noah moved with fear. Now, it had never rained up until that time. And so when God said, I'm going to destroy the world by rain, and Noah began to tell the people, everybody just laughed him to scorn. They didn't know what rain was. And because it had never happened before, they said, well, that's not going to happen. And this is the way people are. People always dismiss the word of God. You know, just because something hasn't happened before doesn't mean it's not going to happen, especially if God says it's going to happen. But Noah, by faith, he moved with an urgency, trembled at God's word. So God said he's going to do it, and it's coming. It's coming, folks. Repent. They didn't. Well, you know, it took him many, many, many years to build the ark. You know, but while he was building, telling the people, nobody listened, but he moved with fear. and by the which act he also condemned the world. Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring out something else here too. God's word, every word in this Bible will be fulfilled. Every single thing. And if there's a promise or other thing, it'll be fulfilled. You know, so that means there will always be at least one person that will believe it. It doesn't matter if the whole world doesn't believe it. God will always have a remnant. One person at least that will believe the word of God, because every word must be fulfilled. Jesus said that himself. And so, and when one person believes it, the rest of the people are condemned for not believing. That's what we see here. By Noah believing the word of God and moving with fear to build the ark as God instructed, by that act, he condemned the whole world. Everybody else that did not believe. Now, but what if some do not believe? Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. What if some do not believe? Shall the unbelief of them make the word of God of none effect? Absolutely not. There will always be what? You say, well, what if there is nobody that believes? There will be always one person that believes. The reason that is because of what Jesus said. Not a word, not one jot or one tittle of God's word will fall to the ground unfulfilled. So if God said it, then it will be fulfilled. If it needs someone to believe it in order for it to be fulfilled, then God will have somebody to believe it in order that it will be fulfilled, because every word must be fulfilled. So there will always be one person. Now, will you be that one person that will believe the word of God, even if others don't believe? That's the question that we have to challenge. This is the thing that challenged us here in the life of Noah. He believed God and condemned the world because he believed, and the world did not believe. That's what the Bible says here. And he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. We see another attribute. Remember, this title of this room not only says God's Hall of Faith, we're seeing the stars, you know, God's stars here. You know, those are the heroes of faith. We're reading through them, but we're also doing the anatomy of faith at the same time, looking at how, you know, what is faith composed of? What does faith look like? And we're seeing all the things that faith is producing in the lives of these people. In the case of Abraham, faith produced obedience. You know, we may never have thought of that, but by faith, Abraham obeyed. Hallelujah. So we see how that ties together. You know, God told him to do something. He could have stayed there and wondered, well, I don't know where I'm going, but he believed God. And he just obeyed. He took one step at a time. He didn't know where he was going. God didn't tell him. And God doesn't owe anybody any explanation of anything. He may and he may not. And even if he does, he will probably never give you the whole picture, because he always leaves room for you to trust and to obey. So he'll tell you just enough for you to take the next step. That's all. He's not going to give you the whole picture and then you know everything in advance. That doesn't work that way. Give you enough information for you to take the next step of faith. And if you take that step of faith successfully, then he'll probably give you the next information to take the next step, and so on and so forth. So we'll never know the full picture all at once. What you know today is not everything that God has in store for you. You know enough for where you are right now, and maybe you know enough for you to get you to the next point in your life. God's the one that has the full picture, and he may not share the full picture with you, because if he did, you probably wouldn't trust him every step of the way. So he'll leave it known to himself, his walks and his ways from before the world began. But by faith, we see that Abraham obeyed. So we see how faith is tied to obedience. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and he went to a place that God was going to give him to inherit. You know, he obeyed, he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, who are also heirs with him of the same promise. God gave the same promise to them. For Abraham looked for a city, which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They were looking for something, but they didn't find it, because they never found any city that was built by God. They were looking, and they thought, you know, that's where they're going to get to. Well, what are we looking for today? Are we still looking for a city? You know, there is a city that's coming. It's called the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. It's going to come out of heaven as a bride adorned, you know, for her husband. It's going to come. The light of the glory of all the nations will flow into it. That city has foundations built by God and not built by any man. Well, you know, they were looking for something, and they went, they were sojourning, but it was still a physical land. You know, the land of Canaan, I mean, the land, a good land and nonetheless. But, you know, they went, you know, but by faith, they obeyed God, even though they didn't know where they were going. Through faith also, we understand. Here's another attribute. Through faith, we understand that Sarah received strength. So we see that faith will also give you strength, you know, to overcome, you know, whatever it is that is preventing you from getting what you are believing God for. Sarah needed a child, you know, and she was past age. By faith, we see that she received strength. So here's another attribute of faith. It brings strength. We've seen that faith brought obedience. Faith brought revelation. Faith brought, somebody to move with urgency. Faith here is bringing, strength. She received strength by faith. You know, so whatever the situation, whatever the conflict, whatever the contradiction of that appears against God's promise, you can by faith receive strength, you know, to get that promise. So Sarah herself received strength by faith to conceive seed, you know, and she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wow. See that? Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, that's Abraham, was past, you know, was 100 years old almost, you know, so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable, which was what God promised Abraham anyway, you know, that, you know, your seed will be like the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. These all died in faith. Now, this verse 13, my anchor scripture when I teach on the lesson of faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promise or promises, but having seen them afar off. Well, there was a special promise. Some received some small promises along the way, but there was one particular promise, you know, of a city, you know, it was in their hearts. They probably didn't get it. You know, some of them got the promise. Some didn't get it. There was something promised. Abraham, something was promised to him, but he didn't get it. You know, exactly. You know, but he got the promise of the child after 25 years. You know, they couldn't really make it into that land and everything, you know, but they kept going from place to place. And they all died in faith, and they're looking forward to it, you know. They did saw the promise afar off. You know, they did not receive the promise quite yet. They were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And inside of them, they knew they were going somewhere. And I have used this verse. Some of you have heard me teach this lesson. And I'll say it again for the benefit of those who may not have heard it. Out of this verse came what I call my faith specs. I use an acronym, which is a four-letter acronym, S, P, E, and C. It all comes out of this verse right here. S is to see the promise. This is exactly how faith works. It's so practical. This is the anatomy of faith. This is what faith looks like. For faith to be valid, it must be based on the word of God. So the first thing you do when you are believing God for something is to search the scriptures. That's also the S. See a promise in the word of God for the thing. If God didn't promise it, You may be believing it all you want. You may get it, you may not get it, we don't know. But if God promised it, which means you got to search the scriptures. That's the S. Search the scriptures. See a promise in the word of God and check it out to see if there's any conditions that go with that. If God promised something, that sometimes there are conditions. Actually, most times there are conditions. There are some unconditional promises in the word of God, you know, like, you know, Jesus is coming again. But even then, you know, there's still conditions around that. Matthew 24 and 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. So, you know, we see that even that, you know, has some conditions tied around it. I mean, hardly any promise that God gives in the word of God, especially those that benefit us in our private lives, hardly there, you will hardly find one that does not have conditions. If ye abide in me, John chapter 15 and verse 7, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatsoever you believe and you want, and it shall be done to you. There's always some if. And if it doesn't say if, then it's always implied. For instance, you know, all the blanket promises that Jesus gave, they are always covered with some condition. Like, if any two of you shall believe on anything and agree on it that they are asking, it shall be done. So there is an if there. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, you know, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from it. That's always if, you know, Exodus 15 and 26, you know, if you will obey my voice, you know, and keep my commandments, keep my statutes, do all of these things and walk in my ways, then I will put none of these diseases upon you. There's always some if, you know, and even Exodus 19 and 5, if you will obey my voice, then you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. There's always if, you know, so when you search the scripture for a promise, don't neglect the if. It's like the premise upon which the promise is established. You know, so listen to that. You know, there is a premise upon which the promise is established. You know, and usually it's some condition that must be met. You know, even the salvation, for us to be saved, there is a condition. We must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just be saved if you don't do those things. So every promise in this scripture, you know, is based on some premise or premises on which the promise is established. Now, having said that, that's the S. Well, there are three more letters in that acronym that I drew out of Hebrews 11, 13. And God gave me this thing some years ago, and I've been teaching it. The next one is P, which is to be persuaded. Remember what he says. He said, they saw the promise afar off and were persuaded of them. So what is the being persuaded? Well, we see in Romans 4, 20, he says that Abraham, you know, he staggered not at the promise of God, but he was persuaded that God who promised is able also to do what he has promised. He was persuaded. Now, persuaded means exactly that. God promised it. You're persuaded in your heart that it's going to be. God said it, that settles it. All I have to do is figure out what he said I must do in order for that thing to come to pass. That's being persuaded. Being persuaded, even Noah was persuaded that what God said was coming. So he moved with fear. Now today, you know, we have the promise of the coming of Christ. But how many people are actually persuaded? I mean, let's examine our lives. Are we living like people that expect the coming of the Lord? And that shows whether you are persuaded about it or not. If your life does not, you know, indicate that you are moving with that urgency, then maybe you are not persuaded, even though you thought you were. But these people were persuaded about the word of God. Now, when it comes to the subject in the realm of things that we are believing from God, most believers, hardly even unbelievers, subconsciously believe that God can do all things. Everybody. There's hardly anybody that doesn't believe that. The problem comes in the next phase of this, you know, breakdown of faith. The S, P, E, and C. S, we've covered, which is see the scriptures, search the scriptures for the promise. P is to be persuaded that God is able to do it. You know, the boys that were facing fire in the life in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What they said was that, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this manner, in this matter. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. Now, that's been persuaded. You know, and I often say to people that, look, that persuasion is non-negotiable in the walk of faith. For you to walk in faith, you must be persuaded that God is able to do that thing. You know, it's non-negotiable. And those young men, they said, look, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. Now, if for whatever reason, he chooses not to deliver us, best known to him, well, that's his business. However, we know that he's able and he will. So that's being persuaded. Now, when you put it like that, God is able to deliver and he will deliver. Well, you know, the Lord is liable to stand up, you know, on your behalf. And he did, you know, for these people, you know, and remember that God actually did come and deliver them. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the very burning forest, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. So that's it. That's being persuaded. Now, let's get back to our story here, or our lesson in Hebrews 11. After being persuaded for the thing, and like I said, most people generally are persuaded that God can do all things. Well, the challenge is in the next step, which is to embrace the thing. You know, he says that they were persuaded and then they embraced the promise, you know, and then they confessed. So there's embrace and then confess. So let's talk about embrace. Embrace is, you know, when you latch onto that particular promise for the particular situation, not just a general belief that God can do all things. We see this very clearly in the story of Jesus at the graveside of Lazarus, you know, when he was talking to Martha. And he said, look, your brother will rise again. And he asked Martha, you know, do you believe this? But if you read that story carefully, Martha believed a lot of things, but she did not embrace that particular situation. You know, Jesus said, you know, to her, let's read it from John chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And so Martha said unto him, well, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, you can see a disconnect right there. You know, she has this general belief of all the things that God is going to do. I mean, Jesus already said, he, you know, all that the Father has given me, I will lose none of them, and I will raise them up at the last day, and all these things and so forth. So she believed that. But is she going to embrace what Jesus is saying for the moment? We're not talking about believing that God can raise the dead. We know that. But can God raise your dead brother? You know, so it's like us. All of us believe that God can do these things. We've read it in the Bible. We've heard testimonies. We know that he can do it. But when a situation arises that is close to home, God forbid, will you believe for that particular situation? Not a general belief, So that's the difference in the embrace. You embrace it for that particular thing. Well, you know, Martha was struggling with this thing. She went on an errand. Well, I know my brother will rise in the resurrection and Jesus, you know, and all of that. And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. I am the resurrection and the life. Right here, right now. You know, do you believe this? Jesus asked her. Believest thou this? You know, and then she still ranted on, you know. Well, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God that should come into the world. But that's not what Jesus was saying. You know, Jesus was trying to get her to believe that right now, right here, your brother will rise again. She's saying all the other things that she believes. You know, so that's the difference between the embrace. You can believe that God and most anybody, Father, everybody that's in this room today or listening to this later, believe that God is able to do all things. It's hardly anybody in their right sense that doesn't know that. But when it comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, like they say, will you embrace, you know, that faith for that particular situation? Believest thou this? Not all the other things, but this thing right here. That's a faith challenge. Do you believe? Now, many of us, the children of Israel, they've seen incredible miracles in the land of Egypt. You know, the height was when all these firstborn were killed and they were all saved alive. God brought them out by a mighty hand. I mean, they've seen things that had never been seen before, you know, and so forth. Well, they come up against the Red Sea, and many of you will have, and some of you have had, and you will still have your Red Sea moments in 2023. So when you come up against that Red Sea, what are you going to do in that particular moment and in that situation? Well, we know that God can call flies out of nowhere. He can turn water to blood. He can do all of these things. He can save us from, you know, the angel of death. He can do all of these things. But he's brought us here to be destroyed at this Red Sea. Our enemies are coming behind us. The Red Sea is in front of us. We are trapped. You should have left us in Egypt. They could not embrace the power of God for the moment. Even though they've seen all the great things that God has already done. See, this is the problem with people. When God has done great things, you know, and we know of all the things, even the things that he's done in your life. But the next challenge that you face, you forget. You know, that's the difference between the persuade and embrace. Will you embrace God for the situation that is at hand at the moment? Then the next thing is confess. So we're talking about SPEC, and I call it faith specs. So you need to learn this, every one of us. Some of you have heard me teach this, but I'm explaining it again for the benefit of those that may not have heard it before. And even if you've heard it before, hopefully God will remind you of something. So back to Hebrews 11 and verse 13. The next thing is to confess what you are believing. And how do you do it? Well, you change your name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of nations, even when you don't have a single child. That's how you confess it. And then you say, don't call me Abram anymore. They call him and say, don't call me that. My new name is Abraham. He said, Abraham. And everybody knows what it means. And they laughed him to scorn. You know, you don't even have a child. How are you going to be the father of nations? Come on. You know, I mean, look at us. We have all our children round about us. You know, and we don't even call ourselves father of nations. Are you now going to do more valiantly than all of us put together? Father of nations indeed. You know, and they mocked it. But he said, I will be the father of nations. You know, don't call me Abraham anymore. So 25 years. He confessed that by even changing his name. Glory to God. Names are powerful, folks. You know, and I come from a culture. It's kind of like the Jewish culture too. Culture that we come from in Nigeria. Names have meaning. Not all these thing names that you see in the Western world that have no meaning. You know, names have meaning. And they can be prophetic. They can also be indicative of the situations around the birth of the child. You know, and when you have a child, give them a prophetic, powerful name, you know, because names are meaningful and they are powerful. And Abraham changed his name to prove it. That was his confession for 25 years. Confessed it. And would you know it? Eventually, he got the promise. And the scripture says, after that he had endured, he obtained the promise. So that's my SPEC faith specs. Now let's move on. Now you know it. Okay. And he said, those that seek or say such things, you know, they declare plainly that they seek a country. That's a different country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Well, the Israelites that came out of Egypt, they were always mindful of Egypt. They wanted to go back. And as a matter of fact, they did go back in their minds. Would to God you had left us in Egypt. Were there no graves there? I mean, why did you bring us out here to be killed here? These were the same people that were crying to God in Egypt for deliverance. Now, they're saying that, well, we were better off in Egypt. You see, they are now mindful of their past. You know, you need to leave your past behind and move on to what God has called you to. I remember 40 years ago when I moved my family into this place from Nigeria. And a friend of mine who was even in Nigeria at the time, a bosom friend, he sent me this scripture, you know, in Hebrews 11:15. And I knew I had read it before, but he just sent it and he didn't say much about it, you know, and then I knew I had read it before. So I went and read it again. And my goodness, the Lord opened up my eyes to that. This is how the word of God is, folks. Never say that I've heard it before. Oh yeah, you know, I've heard that before. No. Every time you hear the word of God, God can open up your understanding into another amazing level. And when I went and read that scripture, I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, I read it before, but it didn't strike me. And then I saw what the Lord was saying. That look, if you keep thinking, that time I came from Nigeria, you know, and if you keep thinking about Nigeria, opportunity will come for you to return. And you are not going to inherit the thing that God brought you here to inherit. You'll be thinking of that country. Some people come out of Nigeria, come here, and they're always thinking of going back. You know, well, fine. You know, they're saying, oh, I was better off there. Then why did you come here? Why didn't you just stay there? You know, you can't be of double mind, folks. You know, so anyway, this scripture is powerful. Don't be thinking of the past. If you do, the devil will give you many opportunities for your mind to go back to the past. You need to move forward. Hallelujah. So, but now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. This is the secret of all the things that they were looking for. Even though when we were reading it in the life of Abraham and those people, we didn't know that they were actually looking for an heavenly country. But now we know by reading it here. You know, they were looking for an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Woo-hoo. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 14, you know, in my Father's house, there are many mansions and I go to prepare a place for you. And when I'm gone, when I'm finished, I'm coming to get you. You be where I am. Hallelujah. You know, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Well, that's another also trust. You know, we see another element of trust here. You know, it was an evidence of, you know, obedience, but also an evidence of trust. Why? Well, he offered up Isaac, who was supposed to be the promise that he was waiting for. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, this was the trust part, that God was also able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him again. He actually told his servants when they got to a certain place, say, you guys wait here. I'm going to go yonder with the child, do sacrifice, and we'll come again. Glory to God. He didn't know for sure that he was coming again, but somehow, you know, in his heart, he believed it that, well, you know, I just go through with what God, one step at a time. I don't need to figure everything out. God said, do this, let me do that. We'll figure out the rest as we go along. You know, so this is the challenge that most of us will have to face and deal with every day. Many times we wait to figure everything out. Well, there's no faith or trust in that. Figure out just the next step. That's all. And then everything else, as thou goest, thy way shall be opened up before thee step by step. God will open up the next instruction and then the next step and then the next instruction and then the next step. If you sit down and wait to try to get it all, you know, you may not move with faith and trust. So Abraham, he said, well, I'm going to go sacrifice the child like God said. But even if that's the case, God's able to bring the child back again because he gave me a promise for this child. You know, and he believed it. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Glory to God. You know, and his Bible says that he accounted that God was able to raise Isaac up again, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So it was almost as if that happened because he put him on that sacrifice. He was able to do it. I mean, he was about ready to do it. And God said, hold on now. By this now I know that you obey me and you fear me because you have not kept thy son, thy only son, from me. You know, well, that was the son that he loved so much. It was the real son of promise. That's why God put it like that. He had another son. But, and then the Lord swore. You know, before then, he didn't swear. He gave him a promise. But after that act of, you know, ultimate obedience and the faith and the trust in God to sacrifice his son, you know, and as far as God was concerned, Abraham already did it. God swore. He said, I swear by myself. And in heaven, I mean, in blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thee. We cover that in chapter 6 of Hebrews. I mean, cover that one. So we see how his faith got him that tremendous, you know, oath from God. Hallelujah. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Here we see another attribute of faith. Faith in the parents, godly parents, can speak things into the lives of their children. That's what Isaac did. He blessed Jacob, you know, and Esau. Of course, Jacob got the bigger blessing. But, you know, somehow Esau was trailing because he sold his birthright. We've covered that before. I won't get too deep into that today. But we see that by faith, you know, a parent is able to speak things into the lives. I mean, these men of God, they were like us. They were just men of ordinary passions. It's why we see many flaws in their lives if you read all their stories. But yet, when it comes to these things of speaking things, it will come to pass. They will just call for their children, speak it into their lives, and everything they spoke. I mean, they were like a prophet at that time. They would just say it, you know. And whatever he said was what it was. You know, just like that, you know. And even Jacob himself, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. You might remember the story, the crossing of the hands, Manasseh and Ephraim. And he worshipped, leaning upon his staff, and he pronounced some blessings, and it was so. Jacob also pronounced blessings for all the so-called 12 patriarchs. And everything he said was so. By faith, a parent, if you are a parent in the house, by faith, you can speak great things into the life of her children. My wife and I do it all the time. And our children, even our grown children, they're all grown. They understand it till today. They'll come back and say, you know, we should speak over them, you know, and we do. And they'll record it on their phone or something and they'll latch onto it. And then it becomes to pass, you know, so you speak things into the life of your children. God's giving you that power. Don't ever say anything negative ever over your children. Always speak positive things and the Lord will bring pass that good thing in the lives of your children. By faith, Joseph, when he died, you see, we see that faith also has hope. Here's another attribute. By faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Well, he didn't know they were going to depart for sure, but he had hope. Well, you're not going to be in this place forever. Glory to God. God also spoke that to Abraham, even before Abraham had a child. Know for a surety, the Lord said to him, that these, you know, your children, you know, will be in a strange land, be tormented 400 years. you know, but at the end, I'll bring them out with a great hand and I will punish that nation. And this was even before he had a child, you know. So Joseph here, by faith, he had hope that eventually children of Israel will get out of there. And he told them, when you get out, you carry my bones. Don't leave my bones here. So we see that faith also brought hope. Now, by faith, Moses, when he was born, we're going to see boldness also that came by faith here. When he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because his parents saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid. The king said, everybody must be slain. All the just male children, 3 months and so forth. I mean, or whatever age, they must be slain. Or a couple of years old must be slain, you know, because they didn't want the children of Israel to multiply. If they kill all the men, then they won't be able to multiply. You can leave the women, but kill all the men. You know, he said. But the mother, the sister, they planned it. They hid Moses. You may know the story. Put him in a little basket of oak they made. Laid him on the river to see what would become of him. And so on and so forth. You know, and he was eventually picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. You know, so, you know, by faith, Moses also, when he was come to years, you know, so you see faith also here, revealing to Moses who he really was, and faith leading him to make a choice. Here's another attribute of faith. You know, by faith here, he comes to realization that he's actually not a child of Pharaoh, as they brought him up to believe. He now understood that he's actually one of the Israelites. He's going to make a choice. So he made a choice. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He identified himself with the children of Israel. I mean, he was heir to the throne, you know, rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. Wow. Hallelujah. And he had recompense unto the reward. Now, that's a challenge for us today. Will you take on the reproaches of Christ rather than pleasures of the world? Pleasures of the world could be, you know, acceptance by your peers. But reproach of Christ will be that, you know, everybody hates you because you love the Lord and you speak about him. Will you, by faith, make a choice and think of the reward that's coming from the Lord? Because he said, if any man will love his life or save his life, he will lose it. But if you will be suffered, you know, persecution for my sake, you will receive tremendous glory. That's a reward. You know, by faith, Moses understood these things and he chose the right side. By faith, he forsook Egypt. You know, not fearing the wrath of the king. That's another boldness. You know, and he went. You know, and he had his eyes on God. He didn't understand too much about God. But somehow, I seen him who is invisible. Through faith, later on, you know, before when he came back, he kept the Passover. When he came back, remember this Moses was a type of Christ. You know, he was the stone, Christ, stone that was rejected. When Moses had killed an Egyptian who was tormenting one of the Jews and buried the Egyptian when he looked right and left, saw that there was nobody buried him. The next day he saw two of the Israelites fighting and he tried to separate them. They said, look, are you going to kill us like you did the man yesterday? Ah, so he knew that this thing was, so he ran. They rejected him. Who made you a judge over us? Well, the same one that was rejected, who made you a judge over us? God sent him right back there to be the deliverer. So he was a deliverer. And when he came, he kept that Passover. The angel of the Lord said to them, put the blood, kill a lamb for an house and put the blood on the doorpost. And you stay in the house now and the angel will pass through. When I see that blood, you will be secure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a type for us today. You put that blood of Jesus by faith on yourself and your family. You stay under the blood. And the angel of destruction will pass you over. I guarantee you, if any of the children of Egypt had also come inside any of those homes that had the blood, they would have been saved. Because the Lord, all he was looking for was the blood on the doorpost. He doesn't care what's inside the house. You know, as soon as the blood was seen on the doorpost, the angel of destruction passed over. So if an Egyptian managed to sneak in there, he would have been saved. I don't know if any of them did or not, but they weren't, they were not smart enough to do that. But anyway, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood that it should not be destroyed. You know, that firstborn should not be destroyed. You know, and by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. We already talked about that, which the Egyptians are saying to do were destroyed. Now, faith is what will part your Red Sea. That's it. You got to have faith. And you'll have your Red Sea moments in this year coming up here very shortly. You will face situations that look like they're impossible. Even though you've seen God do great things, your faith will be challenged again and again. And are you going to be able to pass through the Red Sea? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, you know, after they were compassed about 7 days. Well, that was also another, you know, attribute of obedience. You know, God told Joshua what to do, and they obeyed, and they did it. By faith, even the harlot Rahab perished not with them that have believed. I mean, that believed not when she received the spies with spades, with peace. You know, so this is Rahab, actually, even though she was a harlot. You trace down the genealogy of Christ. She was actually one of, you know, way back in there somewhere. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me. I'm going to move on through this very quickly. The time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah. You know, these were, you know, the Jephthah and all these people who are some of the mighty things that they did things in the Bible. And, you know, of David also and Samuel and the prophets. Listen to verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Well, let's think about some of those that subdued kingdoms. Well, Daniel certainly did. He rose to the top of the kingdom and by his faith, you know, and at the end, he said, look, if anybody will speak anything against the God of Daniel, let him be put to death and so on and so forth. You know, they subdued kingdoms, even Esther, by faith, she got, you know, tremendous favor. Even the king said, to the half of the kingdom, anything you want. You know, and she saved her whole, you know, the whole nation of Israel at that time from being destroyed. You know, by faith, they wrought righteousness. Joseph, by faith, he walked righteousness when he was in Egypt. He refused to be seduced by the seductress, the wife of Potiphar. Walked righteousness. By faith, they obtained promises. Well, we already saw the story of Abraham. Took him 25 years, but he did nonetheless. By faith, they stopped the mouth of lions. Well, we know that in the story of Daniel. By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some of them had escaped the edge of the sword. You know, Elijah, he was somebody that you couldn't kill. You can send 50 companies, and you would call fire down from heaven. You can call another 50. It didn't matter him at all. You can't. His prophet, don't mess with him. Hallelujah. You know, and out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in slide. They turned to fly the armies of the aliens. Elisha, they come out against him, smite them with blindness and so forth. You know, they just run them around in circles. You know, but they did all these things by faith. Women received their dead back to life. The Shunammite woman, you know, that Elisha raised her, you know, daughter back to life, you know, and so on and so forth. All the ones that they did, you know, and all that, you know, and well, there were in some cases a few that were tortured and so on, not accepting deliverance. They will obtain a better resurrection, we are told. Now, others had trials of cruel mockings and surgings, you know, scourgings. Even in the accounts of the early church, we saw that. Bonds and imprisonments and so forth. They were stoned. Stephen. You know, some of them were thrown to the lion's den, you know, in the early church. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword and so forth. Some of them wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, you know, Jeremiah, all these people, John the Baptist, every one of them, you know, and so on. Of whom the world was not worthy. Wandered in deserts. and in mountains, well, John the Baptist, in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good report, I was just going through that very quickly. Having obtained a good report through faith. Well, are you obtaining a good report through faith? They received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Well, what kind of report are we obtaining? When the Lord opens the record books, Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 13, he said, I saw the books were opened and another book was opened, which was the book of life. What were in the books, plural? We know what was in the book of life. Because anyone whose names were not in the book of life were cast to the lake of fire. We know that. But what was in the books? Because he said they were judged out of the things that were written in the books. Now, when God is compiling the books, you know, the other hall of faith. I mean, look, do you know when this book of Hebrews was written? Thousands of years ago. Well, when the writer stopped writing, it didn't mean that there were no more acts of faith. According to Daniel chapter 11, 32, that people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. People are still doing exploits. It's just that, you know, this is the record that we have. And there are some books are still being written. When the books are opened, hallelujah, what will the report be said of you? You know, have you obtained a good report for last year? Are you obtaining a good report for this year? Well, let's see some of the things that Jesus commanded us to be doing by faith as I go through this quickly now. Jesus said in John chapter, well, first of all, in John chapter 17 and verse 18, when Jesus was praying, he said, as my Father, he was praying to the Father, as you have sent me, so have I sent them into the world. You know, then he turns around in John 20 and 21 and says to the disciples directly. The first one was his prayer. This one was direct to the disciples. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Well, how did the Father send him? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's how God sent him. And he turned around and said, I sent you the same way. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. I've given you power over all, you know, serpents, scorpions, all of these things, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I mean, he gave us all these secrets. And Jude chapter 1, verse 3, there's only one chapter. But the verse 3 of Jude chapter 1 said, we've got to earnestly contend. Glory to God. For the promises and the end time faith, which was also the old time faith. The faith that was once this, you know, delivered to the saints is present with us again at this end time, and we must contend for it. Now, Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, I'm going through this very quickly. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he called his disciples unto them and sent them out. And in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 10, he sent them forth. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. And what should you do? What should accompany your preaching? Ladies and gentlemen, please, let's take note here of how, you know, our preaching should be. Here's what he said. As you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, even. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the way gospel and even street ministry should be done. And we got to heal the sick. Well, I know sometimes people don't even want to be, you know, to hear anything you want to say. But when the opportunity arises, do it. And it's going to bring tremendous witness, you know, to the cause of the gospel. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. I mean, it could be a case of leukemia or anything that they got in their blood going. Jesus gave the power to them. He said also in Luke chapter 10, when he sent them out, verse 8, the same thing, you know, go and heal all these people, you know. And God said, and he said to us, you know, I've given you power over the power of the enemy. In Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, I know I'm rushing through this, but I want to finish in the next few minutes. Mark chapter 16, 17, and 18, he said, look, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. The question is, are we believers? Are you a believer? Do these signs follow you? You know, well, what are the things that believers can do? Well, in my name, he said, they can do these things. You know, they can do these things, believers. That's what he said. And we should be able to do these things. So we need to challenge ourselves, you know, and see that these things are happening in our lives. Are you able to cast out devils in the name of Jesus? He said only you should speak with new tongues. Take up serpents. And if somebody tried to poison you, it's not going to harm you. These are believers. They lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. When we are out, this is the way we should minister to the sick. When we are out, we lay hands on the sick. We heal the sick. Jesus didn't exactly say, you know, go and pray for them. Just say, heal them. Now, when you are in that church, you know, James chapter 5 says, if any man is sick, let them call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, for the church, yeah, call the elders to pray. When you go out, you just heal the sick. You know, he didn't tell you to be going there and praying for them. Just heal them. Lay your hands on them. Heal them. Out in the world, in the marketplace, wherever, you pray. You know, you've already prayed up. Before you go, you spend the time in prayer before the Lord. And when you are out there, you heal the sick. But you do it in the name of the Lord. You know, just like Acts chapter 3. Peter and John go into the temple in the hour of prayer. They saw the man trying to get an answer for them. Peter didn't pray. All he said was, look, I don't have money to give you, but such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Eyes up and walk. And he took him by the hand. Didn't even give the man a chance to think about it. Just took him by the hand, pulled him up. The next thing you know, strength came to his bones. Didn't pray. He just healed the man. Hallelujah. They, you know, you got to already be prayed up. They were already prayed up. They already got the power of the Holy Ghost. Now they go out and they do it. And we see it in action. And any gospel that's not really followed by these signs and wonders is not a complete gospel. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I'm bringing it to a close now. Real faith has to be based on the word of God. I said it all the time. You know, how can you say you have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God will always have somebody that is going to believe. So my challenge as I close this today is this. What report is being written of you and of me, you know, this year? What report did you get last year? Can you look back and say in the year 2022, I obtained a good report. My name was written in that book, wherever that book is that was written concerning, you know, heroes of faith. I was in there. Because I believe the Lord my God. Hallelujah. Can you say this year that I'm believing the Lord my God? Can you say? These are our challenges today. And remember our faith specs. Remember all the things that faith looks like today that we have covered. And here I'm going to bring it to an end for this lesson. It's been a long room already. But I'm going to pray now. I'm going to let you speak. You know, after I finish here. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this lesson and this powerful book and this powerful chapter of the heroes of faith and the anatomy of faith, what faith really looks like. And I thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Help each one of us to practice faith. Practice how to seek the Lord, seek his word, find a promise, embrace it, be persuaded and embrace it and begin to confess it. And Lord, we thank you for the commission that you've given us to act by the same. Let us be able to do that even in our lives. We challenge ourselves today to believe God. As for me, Joshua said, and my house, I will believe the Lord and I will serve the Lord. The Lord bless everyone that's in the room and have listened to this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.